also have other ways which we will talk about later on. You know, we are entering the time of Thanksgiving. I hope your heart is prepared to thank the Lord for this wonderful time of the year. Are you thanking God that He is using people to bless you? Let me give you a quotation from D.A. Carson. This is what he said. How much would our churches be transformed if each of us made it a practice to thank God for others and then tell these others what it is about them that we thank God for? I think that's very powerful, because we have been blessed, and sometimes we withhold our sharing, we withhold our blessing to them. So it's a wonderful time to reflect on that. This morning, let us pray. We have two urgent requests. One of our church members, Wu Hang, had a kidney transplant this past weekend. He is in Winston-Salem Hospital in the ICU. He'll be there for two more days. He should be out this week. Please pray for him. It's a surprise to me, because he's retired, and he's having a kidney transplant. So that's serious. Pray for Bill and Mei Long's son-in-law, Tim. You know that he went for surgery to remove a blockage to his intestines because he has cancer, and he has come down with infection. He is in the ICU. He needs prayer. Let's look a lot in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that you are such a great God. That, Father, as we just ponder and be quiet before you, we realize that we have so much to give thanks for. Thank you for life. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for this season that we can pause and remember all your goodness and the people that you have brought our way, the people who shared the gospel with us in the first place. Thank you, Father, for the church. And Father, we want to thank you for members. We want to thank you for Brother Ru Hang. He has been a member of the church for so many years, even from the old church in Raleigh. We want to pray for him, Father, for a quick recovery. We pray for him and his wife, Joyce, that together they will weather this storm that is that they are facing. Give him full recovery. We pray too for Tim, who is in Ohio. Father, we ask that the infection that he has will subside, that all the drainage can come out of his body, and that he can recover. We commit this before you, and Father, we know that in our midst we have brothers and sisters who are down because of one reason or another. We pray, Father, that you will help us, Lord, to rally our support around them. We pray and give you thanks for this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. Now this morning we have different people to share with you how the gospel can go forth. These are ideas. You know, you were thinking about sharing the gospel. How can I do it? Now this morning you heard about Operation Christmas Child. This is one possibility, that through a box of toys, gifts, some children somewhere in the world who can read the note attached will come to hear the gospel. This morning, we also have Anne, who will be sharing with us Compassion. This is an organization that does Christian work all over the world. I'll let her share with you. And after that, we have Ross and Christy. They represent Crew. They worked in Southwest China. By the way, they are with Campus Crusade Crew. I think one of the benefits of going to the mission field, you might come back. That's what happened to Ross. Okay, and I've seen many of that. Because when you share Christ with people and you meet somebody who's just on fire for Christ, you are just attracted, you know? So we're going to have Anne come and share with us. Anne? Is Anne here? Yes, Anne is here. She's going to share with us.
Have you ever thought about being a foreign missionary? Well, I'm here to tell you how you can be a foreign missionary without ever having to leave home. You really can. I'm Anne, and I want to tell you about a great opportunity you can release one child from poverty and give them a chance to hear the gospel regularly from you without anybody telling you you can't talk about Jesus, you can do everything to minister them in Jesus' name. If you've never thought about sponsoring a boy or girl, I want to encourage you to do it today. I have a compassion display set outside the sanctuary, and I really want you to stop by there and check it out. There's some children's packets there of children waiting for a sponsor like you. And each of these children is made in God's image, and we believe that each person has infinite and value and worth. And you can choose to sponsor one of the children today, or you can choose a child from one of 26 countries, a child of a certain age, or gender. My husband Sean and I right now sponsor two children. One is Ashok, a young boy in South Asia, and the other is Burba, a teenage girl in Burkina Faso. I have her picture here. And we chose Burba partly because she's in an area of the world where she's at risk for human trafficking. So it's a huge blessing to us that through a small sacrifice on our part, we're not only providing hygiene training, food, health care for these children, but a safe Christian environment where they receive attention, guidance, spiritual teaching and training, and love. Because you have a compassion staff partner in a local church near where these children live, and they maintain a relationship with your child through the child development centers that Compassion sets up. And the sponsored children are required to continue in their involvement in this local church, in the child development center with Compassion, in order to stay sponsored. So without coercion, Compassion teaches the life-changing gospel to every child in a way that's relevant in their culture and according to their age. And you really are encouraged to write to your child and share about your life and your relationship with Jesus. Ask them questions and learn about their life. They love getting letters from their sponsors. We try to write our children at least once a month. I try to do that on Sunday evenings, and it's super easy to do that on the Compassion website. You can upload photos, and they love receiving photos of you and your family or things that you're doing. There was one story of a boy who his little sort of house was on fire, and everything in it was burning, and he ran back into the fire, and he came out of the fire with letters in his arms from his sponsor. He went back in to save those letters because they made such a difference in his life. So there are children I have here today waiting for a sponsor. And I hope we have a whole bunch of you. It's $38 a month. And it doesn't matter how young you are. I actually started doing this when I was in college. And ever since, I've sponsored children. And in college, I didn't have any money. But if you step out in faith, God will provide that $38 a month for you to be a missionary to another country. So many of these children live at areas where there's high risk for human child trafficking. And there are just countless stories of everyday lives being changed by the influence of a sponsor in a child's life. Many of these children do go on to become spiritual leaders in their communities. So I really hope you'll join us, and you'll get much more blessing than the child by doing this. You can help transform a child's life in Jesus' name. Thank you so much.
Ross and Christine, come and share with us.
It's because of a student from North Carolina, I actually got to hear the gospel, and later I was discipled by a crew staff from North Carolina. The discipler always challenged me to share my faith with others, and I'm glad that she did that at that time, and because it really made me get out of my comfort zone, and my face got stretched. And you know, in China, there are a lot of people simply don't know God. And you know, in the Bible, it says that how could someone call on His name if he didn't believe in Him? How could someone just, you know, hear the gospel without someone preaching? So here, you living in America, you have a great opportunity to talk about God and, you know, sharing your faith. And so this is a great need in China. The Great Commission helped me to understand the big picture of God's kingdom and helped me just to see my role and my part in God's plan. But it's not just, you know, one aspect of our life. It's a lifestyle. So I really challenge you guys, and wherever you are, and just share your faith with others. I believe in your own community, there are a lot of lost people. But if you have a chance, come to China, and we need you there too. And please come to join us. And we need people who are growing up with the understanding of the Bible. You can help to teach. But also, we can help you just to connect with our students, and even with your English-speaking skills, and you can help just to share the gospel with them. I remember I met a girl like a couple years ago, and she's from an ethnic minority group, and she is the only college student from her own village. So as we start to talk about Jesus, and she trusts the Lord later with me, and she just got involved in my Bible study, and she loved to talk about her faith with others, and always invite people to join our crew weekly meeting, and she just willing to tell people about God. And there's one day we were having a Bible study together. She just told me that, "I really wish one day my entire people group could worship God and with our own language and culture." It just simply touched my heart. And now even I live in America, but she still continues just to shine her light for Jesus. And now she's still very active in our ministry, and she simply just multiplied her faith, and now she started to lead her own Bible study and continue to bring the blessings to others. So God just blessed us so we could be a blessing to others. And just don't just, you know, like ignore. This is such a big privilege we could have, and we could be used in God's great plan. So thank you so much, and please, I just invite you guys to, you know, wherever you are, just continue to share your faith, and what you do does mean a lot, and to people and to God. Thank you.
Our deacon elect for missions, Brother He Qun, has invited our guests from crew to join them for a lunch afterwards. If you have questions, please join them during that time so that you can ask more how you can be involved in this ministry. By the way, we have prayer letters outside from James Ho, from Sandy. James is with InterVarsity. Sandy is with crew and myself. So if you have not had a chance to look at the prayer letters, please look at it on the table outside. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity for us to hear the works, Lord, that you are doing all over the world. And Father, we pray that our hearts will be softened, that our hearts will play a part to answer the call, to respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that all of you have something very small when you came in, and probably some of you played with it and you dropped it and you couldn't find it. We're talking about a mustard seed. We're talking about living life in the body of Christ, and the mustard seed is a picture of living life in the body of Christ. Now, I feel sorry for the prisoners that I saw on a video clip. They were trying to enact what prisoners of war are forced to do. In many countries, when you are a prisoner of war, you don't sit around and then just eat food. They force you to do senseless, meaningless tasks. And in this case, what happened was, they forced the prisoners, gave them shovels to dig a big hole. bring the dirt over to one side, and it became a mountain. And when the work was done, they didn't stop. They asked them to go and bring the dirt that they have just put in the hill, dump them back into the hole to fill it up again. Isn't that so meaningless? Isn't that what Ecclesiastes said? Life is meaningless. And I look at that prisoner working so hard, and he has that look on his face. This is wasted effort. I am just wondering, what about you? Do you feel that your life is like that, meaningless, that you just go to work every day, you know, or you go to school, and nothing seems to come out of it? And you wonder, is my life worthless? Is it meaningless? Or are you embarking on a meaningful journey? Let me propose to you that you will truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day ought to be, should be meaningful. Even when you go to work, that's your mission field. Our brothers and sisters are in China. That's a mission field. But if you are not going to China, your mission field is right there in the school, in your working place. Every day you go there, you are an ambassador, a minister of the gospel. Work is just a means to pay the bills. That's not what life is all about. And one day we're going to stand in front of the Lord, and He's going to ask us to present to Him works that has not burned up. See, one day there's going to be a barbecue. There's going to be a fire to test our works. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. And whatever works that are not burned up, those are the things we offer to God. Those are the meaningful things we offer to God. See, if you only work for this life, work for a fat paycheck, work for a house, work for a car, they will all be burned up. We all should be involved in ministries. But I think there are two ministries that we should be involved in. We are commanded to be involved in evangelizing the lost, edifying the saved. Very easy to remember, EE. To the people outside, I need to evangelize. I need to speak to them about Jesus. But from inside the body, I ought to be encouraging, lifting people up, thanking them for what they're doing. Without exception, each one of us should be involved with this double E. Evangelizing the lost and edifying the saved. You may feel that you cannot do it. I believe that Jesus will never command us to do something that we can't do. He has given us resources. Now, this is a famous discipleship wheel, or the wheel invented by the Navigators. I believe Campus Crusade uses it as well. I hope you can see it. The vertical spoke, and then the horizontal. Evangelism is witnessing. It is reaching out, using prayer and the word. Do you see that? It's involved. I pray for that person, and I use the Bible, and I evangelize. And then edification is within the church. I fellowship. How do I do that? I pray for my brothers and sisters. I use the word to encourage them. See, it's all inclusive. And you know the Great Commission, Jesus said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He's our resource. He can make it happen. When we are involved in this way, His presence goes with us. His Holy Spirit gives us power when we speak and when we encourage people. And as we work together as a church, we have team effort. Question is, are you involved in both? It's not either or. It should be both, all at the same time. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Luke 13. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to it, because there will be passages in there that I will not be reading. And when I talk about it, you won't know what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 21. Now, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Now, it says this, "Then Jesus said, 'What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed which you have in your hand, so small that a man planted in a garden It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches. He also asked, what else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Tiny beginning, but the results are tremendous. So insignificant at first, you can hardly see it. You know, I actually took one and put it here, and it's gone. It's lost. I'm sorry? Yes. Did you lose yours? It's so tiny. You will miss it. But Jesus is saying that from such a small beginning, it becomes a tree. So much so that birds come and nest in it and probably eat its fruit. And the dough, you don't see it. How many of you have seen yeast? It's so small. But when you mix it into the dough, it grows. It grows and grows, right? It has astonishing results. What is interesting here is that it is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. This is Jesus talking about God himself. We are in God's garden. He is interested in the garden. This is what he wants us to do. This parable are apt pictures of evangelism. You know, we doubt, oh, will it work? Will people come to know Christ? Well, I don't see the result. While we may not see the results, humanly speaking, we share and we share, we may not see it. But God says he will work. We are faithful, he will work, and the results will astonish all of us. God wants us to share his love. You know, Jesus gave this parable, these two parables. And if you look at your Bible, the part that I didn't read, go and look at chapter 13, the first part of it. Luke chapter 13. Jesus, the title is A Crippled Woman Healed on the Sabbath. There was a woman who came, and the woman had a disease. For 18 years, she was bent over, and Jesus touched her. It was on a Sabbath day. And the people, the leaders, were angry. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. That's against the rule. But Jesus was so mad with them. Remember one other time he said, do we do good or do we do bad on the Sabbath? The answer is, of course we do good. Meaning, we ought to be doing good all the time. We ought to be sharing the gospel and edifying people all the time. Especially on Sunday. Question is, are you doing anything about it? Or are you doing nothing? See, what happened is that the devil always trips us up. Oh, you can do that, but you're not mature enough now. Wait a few more years. Go for a few more classes. Learn how to do it. You know, then your heart will be bold and you'll be stronger. You'll be able to share the gospel better. Not now. You're too young. You're too immature. Or you need to practice it, practice it, practice it. Then you go and do it. Those are the devil's lies. I was reading a very interesting booklet that was given to me just last week, mailed to me. It's about this couple. It's a book written by both of them. Many of you may not know them, but you can Google it, Briscoe Ministries. They're from England. They're Brits. They speak with the British accent, you know, even after all these years. Jill Briscoe, in that book, said this, how she became a Christian. She was in nursing school. She comes from a nominal Christian family. The father doesn't think that going to church is important, doesn't believe reading the Bible is important. It's just a nominal family. She's not a Christian. Dad is not a Christian. And then she went to nursing school, and she was amazed by the Christians around her, and she was so attracted to them. Let me quote. So Jill returned to college immediately, set about sharing. She was diagnosed I missed that part. She was diagnosed with a disease. They couldn't find out what disease that was. So she was in this hospital. And next to her, on the same in the same ward, was a radiant Christian who was sick. And this Christian, within a very short time, within a few days, shared the gospel with her. And she was so attracted to her that she gave her life to Jesus. And what happened was, after that, mysteriously she got well. She was discharged. And just before she was discharged, this Christian told her this, would you come and see me within a week and bring with you the first person you have led to Jesus Christ? Can you imagine? She just prayed, nominal Christian, never write the Bible, became a Christian, and then this person said, oh, next week, within a week, bring the first person that you have led to Christ, come and see me. Now what does she know? Jill Briscoe, nothing. She thought this is the normal procedure. This is what Christians ought to do, which we ought to do. We got the good news. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You found bread. Tell another beggar where to find bread. And so she did. She went back. And there were people all over the place who were hungry. Let me quote. So Jill returned to college, nursing school, and immediately set about sharing what she had discovered of Christ, which isn't very much. The Lord had plenty of people he wanted to reach in that establishment. So there was no problem getting someone as fresh and eager as Jill to touch with some of the people who were ready to hear the good news. The result was quite predictable. She went back to see her friend within a week, and she took her first convert with her. This initial experience and of seeing someone else come to faith served only to encourage Jill to reach out to more people. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the mustard seed? Insignificant, young Christian, don't know anything, and just open her mouth. What about us? Jesus said, all you need is that amount of faith. It's not a big faith. Small faith in a big God, and God will supply. It's not the size of our faith. See, the devil is always like, oh, you're not faithful enough. You need to have more faith, then you can do it. But that's not true. See, this seed became a big plant, the mustard seed, so much so that birds came and nestled. In another passage, in Matthew 13, it talked about the fact that the seed that fell on good soil produced what? 30, 60, 100-fold. You can't see it. One seed multiplied. You know, I've never planted anything in my life until I came to the U.S. Honest. No green thumb. Don't have green thumb even now. Everything I learned is, oh, did that, I'll just copy you. Okay? It works, it works. If it doesn't work, that's, you know. It's sort of like my friend across the road. We have a neighbor. And you go to his yard, he has a tombstone for his plant. Right where he planted a plant. I tried, but it died. Okay? And I want many of those because I've tried many times, many plants, and they died. You only see the live ones. You haven't seen the dead ones. Okay? So the Lord is looking for growth like that, insignificant beginning. Never grown anything in my life. My wife and I picked up a eucalyptus tree. When we bought it, it was like that. Honest, it was only that big. Tiny, weak, like a twig, all right? Just like that. And the leaves are much smaller than they're green, okay? We planted it. That was 5 years ago. You know how big that tree is right now? It's taller than our house, almost. Gives us wonderful shade. Beautiful fragrance. You know the trunk is more than a foot across, measured this way? And I can't believe it is from this tiny little thing. That is sort of like the picture of the mustard seed. Small, insignificant beginning. And that's what the Lord is looking for. If you trust me with even a tiny faith like that, I will make something big out of your life. He wants us to be effective in evangelism. But you know why we are not effective? There are many reasons. But let me just give one. I think this is one of the chief ones. It's found in John 12:24. It says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil, contact, and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Biologically, what Jesus said is true. Unless you put the seed in the ground, bury it, let it die, it will not produce. You remember the song that we sang last week? Some of you were there. I preached, and at the end, I played you a song. Some of you know the Chinese, because it was only in Chinese. Just to summarize one sentence, they were asking the question, why did the missionaries in the past come all the way to China to share the good news with Chinese and died in China? Why? Why do they go to all the small, tiny villages and share the good news? Why? And then it talks about this passage. They are like a seed that has fallen to the ground and died. And out of that grew China today. And you know the song says, you know why China has the revival today? It's because of what they did. Somebody died, shared the gospel with us, and so we live. See, many of us are so big about ourselves. We are so proud of our abilities. God can't use us. See, God uses the humble. Those who are willing to die to their own dreams, their own plans. Oh, this is mine. But if you give it all to God, He will use each one of us. See, we have all our plans, all planned out. And God is not in there anywhere. No wonder God can't use us. Can God use you? If you're so full of yourself, see, sometimes we are so afraid. If I give my life to God, God is going to mess it up. If I give it to God, He's going to send me to Africa. He may, but He's not going to mess up your life, my life, you know? You know, I can tell you, I didn't want to be here in the U.S. But it was not a mess. I have enjoyed myself the last 20 over years. But I never dreamed of coming here. You asked me back then, would I want to be here? No. Do I want to be a pastor? No. When we surrender our lives to God, then and only then will we experience the supernatural and abundant life. Eternal life is what God wants to give the whole world. But we, His people, are keeping this wonderful news often. And sometimes my wife also says that I'm too pushy about the gospel. When I have a non-Christian in front of me, you know, why are you so pushy? Well, I'm pushy because I may never see this person again. I will feel really rotten if I don't have the opportunity. I didn't make use of that opportunity to share. I hope you feel that way too. Because I know the devil will say, oh, there's always another time. Oh, next week, next month. But you never know whether next week or next month will come. Are you involved in evangelism? There's so many ways to be involved. This morning we have several ways, right? Operation Christmas Child. Anne and Sean talk about compassion. Would you hear about all these opportunities? Oh, it's good for them, it's good for them, it's not good for me. Okay, those are not good for you. What about going to China, like what Todd's friend, Ross and Christy talked about? Come to China, teach English. Wow, that's good, okay. What about global media outreach? You know what that is? Go and Google it. As long as you're 18 years and above, you're an adult, you can be involved. You don't even have to leave your house to be a missionary. Meaning to say that there'll be people sending in questions about the Bible, about the gospel, and you can be their missionary and answer the question through the internet. You want to know more about that? Ask Pauletta. I think Pauletta is not here this morning. You can ask Pauletta. She'll tell you. She has been corresponding with non-Christians. Your testimony, your gospel presentation. If you don't have one, write one. And if you don't know how to share the gospel, memorize one. And then start using it. ESL. This afternoon, we have ESL. All of you are great with English. Teach somebody. Get involved. Bring a cup of tea. Be involved with just the nitty-gritty. All right? You don't have to be even teaching. Make sure that attendance are taken and all that. All right? What are this? Adoption. Do you know that when you adopt a child and you are a wonderful parent, that child becomes a Christian? Let me just read to you just one letter. This is from my friend. He spoke here twice from this pulpit. Justin, a campus minister at UNC Chapel Hill. He came, remember he came with children? He had adopted at least one from China. And this is what Justin got from his daughter. In honor of National Adoption Month, a letter I got this weekend from my sweet Grace. The daughter is called Grace. It made me cry and thank God a million times more for letting me have the privilege of being her daddy. You know that they're not rich. You know Justin and his wife. The adoption costs a lot of money, more than $10,000. But this is what he said. This is the letter from the daughter. Dear Dad, you are so special to me. I love you so much. Happy Halloween. You are the love of my life. Thank you for everything and all the things you do in my life. You are the best dad anyone could ever have. There is no one on this earth that I could ever wish for that could replace you because you are irreplaceable. Thank you for going all the way to China to get me, your daughter, who greatly loves you, Grace. But do you realize that Jesus Christ came all the way, not from China? He came all the way from heaven to adopt each one of us. And shouldn't we be thankful and share that good news with people? The best way to heal a broken heart is to give God all the pieces. And there are people with broken hearts everywhere. Broken hearts. My wife and I just shared the gospel with somebody on Thursday night. She has a broken heart. She hasn't come to the point where she realized that she was willing to accept Jesus. But we shared the gospel. She has a broken heart. And people have broken hearts. They need Jesus. This is the latest book that I'm reading right now. Copyright. I can't find a publisher because I guess it is dangerous to even give you the publisher's name. In chapter 5, it's a story of this guy called Corey. He was a Muslim in Louisiana. Louisiana, Baton Rouge. And he would go to the mosque every Friday. And he got so sick and tired. Why? In the mosque, they preach anger. They preach down with America. Kill the Christians, you know. And so he's saying that, I love this country. And you guys are enjoying this country. And you're preaching hatred. And so he quit. He left the mosque. He said, I'm not coming back. And then he got into drugs. He got into all kinds of things. And then he got to the bottom. And he really was so fed up of his life. He prayed. He became a Christian. Jesus revealed himself to him. Do you believe that? And then what happened was he had a dream. Let me quote. I had a dream one night and found myself overlooking a city. I recognized the landmark castle on top of a hill as I was floating over it. It was a castle in Eulis, Ankara, that is Turkey. The same voice I had heard before said, this is the city of your birth. I looked out to the city and normally you would just see a sea of buildings, but I saw the whole land filled with tombstones. And there was an eerie calm and darkness. The voice said, they are all dying. You must tell them the gospel of life. His hometown. And you know what he did? Within a month, he quit his job in Houston. A fat job. Good-paying job. Packed up with two suitcases, he flew back to Turkey. This is the quotation. Within a month, I resigned my career. Now, you talk about faith and action. You see, we talk a lot as Christians. We talk about faith. But you see, God wants faith and action. Without action, faith is what? James says, dead. He sold and gave away everything like a couple who the husband spoke here 2 years ago, they are going to Southeast Asia. They sold everything. He's a computer engineer to reach the Muslims. And he doesn't know anybody. He doesn't know any Christian, any church. All he has were extended family members. But God, he says, but God equipped me with what I needed. Small little faith. I don't know very much. But I know God will come through. And you see how big God is after you have taken the step of faith. Evangelizing the lost requires a little faith, not a big faith. A little faith in a big God. This is a chart. I hope you can see. This is the history of a church that was planted by an American, a Vietnamese American. He came over on a boat, a refugee. You look at him, he's a tiny little man, skinny. He is an aircon man by profession. He came here, learned to be an aircon repairman. He came and fixed Jean and I, our home in Plano, fixed our aircon for us. And he felt God calling him to reach the Vietnamese in Malaysia. Do you know that Vietnamese go all over the world as laborers? Because it's cheap. And he found that a lot of Vietnamese are in Malaysia. He went there in 2005. Baptism, zero. That was the first year. Mustard seed, so small. But you look at it, every year, how many times they shared the gospel, especially during Christmas. You look at it, October 12, 2014, those are the figures. But they're going to have a big meeting on December 20th this year. And they're going to share the gospel, and that figure will grow. Small beginning, but amazing. No wonder he doesn't want to come home. Toy doesn't want to come home. Every 6 months, he'll run to Singapore, renew his passport, and then his visa, and get back into Malaysia. As a Christian and member of Raleigh Chinese Christian Church, are you evangelizing the lost? Then secondly, are you edifying the saved? What are you doing within here? What is edification? It's instructing and encouraging those within the church. Instructing them with the word. That's what I'm doing right now. Encouraging you with the word. Instructing you with the word. Telling you the truth. The gift of encouragement is so important in the church. Remember Joseph? His name was Joseph. He was such an encourager that they changed his name to Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. Wow, talk about that. That is body life, encouraging one another. Now, this book came out in the late 60s, popularized this whole idea of body life. What is body life? It's encouraging, helping one another, motivating one another, teaching one another, praying for one another. You know, there are 55 occurrences of the word one another in the Bible. Different things we do within the body to edify each other. A key verse is 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual life is given to, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us for fun. So we can sit. No. So we can help each other. You know, I like the translation, another translation. It says, we were given spiritual gifts for the common good. For the common good of the church. See what happens is that we are so selfish. We come to church often, we think only of ourselves. When was the last time you come to church and think of, what can I do for my brothers and sisters? What can I do for Raleigh Chinese Christian Church? What is good for Raleigh Chinese Christian Church? Or are you thinking of only what is good for yourself? See, what happens is that life in the church requires teamwork. That's the other translation, common good. Teamwork. You look at the Bible. God uses Adam and Eve, a couple. He uses a family, Abraham. He uses his extended family. He uses a nation. He uses the church. Always in community. He does not use just individuals. Have you seen a church in action? A church that is unified? Why did they? You think Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talk about church, the church as a body, all the body parts? Every one of us is one of those body parts. He only mentioned this, but I'm sure that he can mention other things. So the question is, what are you? And if you are one of those, are you fulfilling your role, playing that role, so that the good of the church is lifted up? You know, the Moravians were wonderful Europeans. When they had a revival, they went all over the world and shared the gospel. I read it somewhere. They were sent 20% of their church members as missionaries. And many of them never came home because they would die on the field. Can you imagine 80 people sending 20 people out? And in North Carolina, they actually established quite a number of settlements. And one of the settlements, I think, is near Asheville. You know who they sent? They sent carpenters, they sent tailors, they sent farmers, they sent steel workers. They sent people, each one with a trade, so that when they go there, they can establish a community. Everybody has a job. This is the latest issue of Leadership Journal. Instead of a body, they use a bicycle. And they took apart all the parts. In the body of Christ, we are a bicycle, which part are you? Can you imagine if one part is missing, can you cycle? Maybe some parts you can steal, but you know, there are parts in the bicycle, if it's taken away, it's useless. That's the picture that we have. This is a picture of a barn construction in Pennsylvania among the Amish. The scripture is, bear one another's burden, taken from Galatians 6:2. In one day, all the Christians come together and erect a barn. Everybody come in and chipped in, and they raised a barn. How could they do that? Because why? They bore each other's burden. That's what we do. We edify the body so that the body will be built up. What are you doing? There are no useless body parts. Oh, you say, Pastor, the appendix. I don't know. One of these days, they might have a scientific discovery that the appendix has a use. Then I will be the one laughing. I really don't believe that there are useless body parts. See, we have a handicapped parking lot all over the church for people who are handicapped, who have a physical disability. But do you know that in the church, we are handicapped because many people are missing? They're not involved. So I saw a video some time ago of this twin, identical twin, born, and one was healthy and the other one was dying. And the doctor said, that one is dying. And a nurse, what the nurse did was, she did something that they never did before. She put the healthy twin next to the dying twin. And the healthy twin put the arm around the sister. And amazingly, that sister revived. Her breathing got okay. And this is what they look like today. 20 years later, 18 years later. I think they're 18 years old right now. 19 years old. Kiri and Brial. Kiri, you know what is Kiri? It's the Greek word for Lord. Brial is the name for God is my strength. And you see what happened is that when one helps the other, when we edify one another, strength comes to the body. That's a true story of transforming love, right? Human touch. But we are talking about something greater. We are talking about spiritual touch. When we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, we can touch people and change them forever. We are talking about physical life here. I don't know if they are Christians. But can you imagine we can touch somebody and the person becomes a Christian? We are touching the person forever. Our God is the master, and we are his mustard seeds, and we are his yeast. When the gospel in us touches people, we can make a difference. The key is touch. We have to be close enough. Question is, are you close to non-Christians? Or you have lost all your non-Christian friends? If you don't have that closeness, how can you make the connection? Philip Yancey, in one, his latest book, said this. When he went to Scandinavia, he was so surprised that they opened their doors to all the refugees from Iraq. Why are they so loving? What happened? Because in the past, they always prayed, Lord, save us from the Vikings! Scandinavia, you know, they were warlike people. What changed them? It's the gospel. The gospel changed the Vikings. And that's the message that we have. We can cause people to change. Not us, but the gospel. So when we leave church today, we go back to your school, to your workplace, to your office, will you be good news, bad news? Which body part would you be? Would you be lifting up the body of Christ? See, what happened is that when we don't fulfill our function, something breaks down. Like our brother, he needs a kidney transplant. Why? His kidney wasn't functioning. And if he doesn't get a kidney, he will die. Do we have a kidney running around somewhere that's supposed to be part of this church? Only you can answer that. You know, we have younger people here, and I want to just summarize because of time. Maybe you want to go, you're tired of this church. Well, because I grew up in this church. But this is your church. This is the only church that you have known since you grew up in this church. And if you run off somewhere else, we are missing part of you. We are. And you're thinking of going to a progressive church, a church more suited to your taste. My question is, will you be one of this in that new church? If you're not, it doesn't matter whether you're here or there. You are just a handicap. Our church will be handicapped and that church will be a handicap. I often get requests from young people, you sitting here, Pastor, could you write me a reference letter? And I look at the email, I said, who is this person? See, we have people who come to church sporadically. You know why I keep asking for names? Because I have a bad memory. But when I get an email, I will remember, I'll look you up. Would I be able to recommend you if I have never seen you in action in the church? I can. But for some people, I can lie. But for some of you, because you are involved, you should have seen the youth on Friday night packing the boxes. Didn't you have fun? Hey, tell me you had fun. You look like you had fun. It was coming together as a group doing it. And I can see who are the people who were having fun doing it. I can see who are the people just playing basketball. Okay? So I know who are the people who have a heart and who are the people who don't have a heart. In all my life, I have to say no to two brothers. They came to me and said, Pastor, I feel called to be a missionary. And I said, I don't think so. Why? Because I saw them in church. And my question is, who have you led to Christ here? You see, what happened is very strange to hear this. Oh, I'm going to go to Iraq and lead a Muslim to Christ. My question is, have you led a Chinese in your class to Christ? If you haven't done that, how on earth are you going to lead a Muslim over there to Christ? See, I think pastors are too quick to sign on the dotted line and recommend church members for full-time ministry. They lack the yes from the body. What does the body say? That's body life. When somebody is working and they are growing in the church, you see their spiritual life, everybody will say, we will send Carrie Ho. Yeah, now she heard me. Well, because we saw her working, I will have no problem signing on the dotted line. That is body life. The life of the body is important because the body understands, wow, this part of the body is working great. We can send this person. Let me conclude. A Christian was raking his yard. I can appreciate that. I have to rake the yard. I have to do it all by myself. Why? Because my two daughters and my wife, they have severe allergies. I'm the only one. I'm the lone raker, not lone ranger. I'm the lone raker, raking away. And so this Christian was raking away. And his next door neighbor came over and said, I want to help. And she was raking and she was begging. And so this Christian asked the neighbor, Samantha, why are you doing that? Well, because my name is Samantha. Samantha means somebody who helps, and I'm helping. Now, question is, we call ourselves Christians. That's the name. You like that name. But do you realize that Christians are supposed to evangelize and edify? Evangelize the lost and edify the saved? Do we live up to that name? Are you? I want to leave you with that. Think about it. And if you feel you are not, then do something about it. Do something about it. And after the service, go and have lunch with these wonderful folks. They might tell you things that will help you make a decision about your life. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you love us. You love the world that you've made. And there are millions and billions of people who have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know that he can save each one and give each one a purpose and give each one a home in eternity. So, Father, I pray that you will help us, Lord, as Christians, as followers, that we will evangelize. We will make it our point to share the good news, and that we will make it our point to edify, encourage one another as we see you coming. We give you thanks in your precious name. Amen.